Good morning, everyone. That lovely bus. I like that bus. Well, you have me instead of Nick this morning because Nick has COVID, sadly, and can't be with us. So there have been a few little changes of programme. Hoppy and I and Nick and Liz have been in contact with each other, and hopefully it will all run smoothly. Welcome to everyone. Lovely to see you all. Some people may still have to sign Anne Horsnell's card. If you haven't signed it, please will you do so. I'll leave it at the back. It's her birthday, and there's going to be a get-together for her on Wednesday. It's Jean Saunders' birthday as well today. She tells me she's 37, but I'm not quite sure about that. Anyway, can we sing happy birthday?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy
Angela and Eric have had a message from Dick Chammings. He emailed them, and in his email he says, "Do please pass on my love to the dear fellowship at Habersham. I treasure every precious memory." We know that he is not well, and he will be having chemotherapy starting in May. Right, we're going to sing now, number 31, which is Amazing Grace.
The reading today is taken from John's Gospel, John chapter 15, verses, we'll start at 18 to 27. And it's titled, "The World Hates the Disciples." "If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why the world hates you. Remember the words I spoke to you. No servant is greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. If they obeyed my teaching, they will obey yours also. They will treat you this way because of my name, for they do not know the one who sent me. If I had not come and spoken to them, they would not be guilty of sin. Now, however, they have no excuse for their sin. He who hates me hates my Father as well. If I had not done among them what no one else did, they would not be guilty of sin. But now they have seen these miracles, and yet they have hated both me and my Father. But this is to fulfill what was written in the law, in their law. They hated me without reason. When the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning."
Well, good morning, everybody. I've got several bits of paper here to hopefully guide me through different bits here, because it was only yesterday that I heard that, unfortunately, Nick wasn't well. So I apologise if it's a little bit sort of muddly this morning. But thinking about this passage that we just heard Sarah read, it's quite a challenging passage, isn't it, about how the world sees Jesus and how the world sees us. But it's also got that heartening bit at the end, which is all about the Spirit coming to help us. And it reminded me of two things that Jesus said, which I thought at this point would be good just to share with you. We have to hold in balance the way Jesus both encourages us and challenges us. So on the one hand, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. In other words, it's not going to be easy to follow me. Jesus hadn't yet taken up his cross, but that's what we think of primarily with Jesus, isn't it? Him giving his whole life on the cross. And the disciples knew what crosses were all about. They were about, you know, basically to them, it was about execution. But what Jesus meant was laying down everything so that he could then begin again to rebuild us and to start again with us. But he also said, take my yoke, which means my way, take my way upon you and you will find rest. For my way is gentle and my burden is light. So there's the challenge of the cross, but then there's the encouragement of take my yoke, take my way upon you. And I find both of that in this passage you just heard. The challenge that it's not going to be easy. People won't understand. I'm sure we can probably think of different situations we've encountered in our lives where people don't understand what it is to be a Christian. I was thinking about the way we live in sensitive times, where certain jokes we used to make, you can't make anymore. And that's becoming more and more the case. So that you know, people just don't get, if you make a joke that you're just joking, they take it very seriously. And I was thinking, but I've lived my whole life with people making jokes about Christians. I can go back all my life and find people quite happily, and they still do in comedy shows, take the mickey out of Christians. But we just get on with it, don't we? Because that is the nature of people not understanding what it is to follow Jesus. Take my yoke upon you and you will find rest, says Jesus. For my way is gentle and my burden is light. And we're going to come back later on when we come to the talk bit to think a bit more about the Holy Spirit. But these are some of the descriptions that Nick put together about the Holy Spirit. We often think of the Holy Spirit with power. But actually, he's described in many ways all through the New Testament. But he's a helper, he's a counselor or a guide, he's a comforter, he's an advocate who brings the truth into our lives. Truth about God, truth about ourselves, truth about the world. And he leads us on. And he's constantly wanting to keep on leading us and guiding us and strengthening us and helping us. And you may feel like that's just what you need this morning, really. Little clip that we thought we would share at this point. This is from Lord of the Rings. You may know this clip. But it's talking about, you know, the best use of the time that we have. How can we use this time that God has given us in this world? So have a little look at this. Hopefully it will all play okay. Let me just see how it sounds. I don't know if you heard that because he was whispering a bit, wasn't he? But Frodo was saying, you know, I wish this hadn't happened to me. I wish I hadn't ended up in this place at this time now. And Gandalf says, so do so many people. They wish they hadn't found themselves in that place at that time. But the question to ask is what to do with the time that is given to us. And so much of this life, we're sort of made to think about if only, aren't we? Advertising is based on buy this and your life will be better. Buy this and it will take you out of the now. you know. But actually now is what we've been given, isn't it? And it can be very difficult. But again, that's why we've been given the Spirit of Truth to help us. So we're going to sing again now. And this is actually a... So I'm just checking what was the order of what I was doing. Yeah, that's right. This is a prayer of asking for forgiveness, taking a moment to bring ourselves to God, and that he would cleanse us from all we've done wrong, and give us a fresh start yet again, something we can do every day. And here we are. We're going to sing about that this morning. So as we sing this, you might want to offer yourselves and all that's happened to you this week to God again. So cleanse me from my sin. It's number 82 if you need the book. Let's stand up. Sit down. As we come to pray, which we're going to do now, we'll begin with these words, looking at those again, taking a moment to offer ourselves to God, and I will lead us through a prayer, just asking for his refreshing and his forgiveness and cleansing and his strength. Perhaps there's things this week you're facing which you know will be a challenge. Sometimes we get caught in behavior that just goes on and we can't break it without God's help. Anything like that. Cleanse me from my sin, Lord. Put your power within, Lord. Take me as I am, Lord. So I'll lead us in a prayer about that. Lord, we've just sung these words as an offering to you, and we offer ourselves to you again. Lord, I pray for myself and for everyone here. Refresh us. Cleanse us, Lord, from all that we've done wrong, all the mistakes, all the deliberate things we've done wrong, all the things we haven't realized that maybe have hurt other people, and those things that people have done which have hurt us. Cleanse us and help us with all these things, Lord. And help us in this coming week as we face all the situations in life that we'll face. Be our strength, be our cleansing, and be our power, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. And we're going to continue praying now, starting off thinking about situations in the world. Where do we start? Gosh, plenty, isn't there? So I'll lead us, I'll introduce three different parts of the prayer and then leave a little gap if you would like to pray quietly for anywhere in the gap each time. So let's pray. Lord, we're going to think in a minute about your Holy Spirit of truth and comfort and grace and strength. And Lord, so many places in this world, it's so obvious how much they need your love and your Spirit to be at work. We think of the places we hear a lot about at the moment, Russia and Ukraine, Israel and Hamas and Palestine and the situation there, Lord. I want to mention too Haiti this morning, which is in a terrible situation at the moment, Lord. and we offer to you other places in the world that we're aware of, that we hear about in the news. These situations too big for us, Lord. But you are bigger than these things. So we offer these places to you now. As we hear and read the news each day, we can feel powerless. But you are not powerless, Lord. And thank you for all those people in all these difficult places around the world who are working to bring peace, who are working to help people, to bring healing, to bring strength. Thank you for those people who are at work in all these different situations. In Jesus' name, amen. Think about our own country now. Let's take a moment to think about situations here. And if there's places that you know of or anything that you're aware of going that is going on in different places, perhaps where your family members or friends live, that kind of thing, anything like that, I'm going to give you a moment to quietly mention those places to God in our prayers. Lord, we thank you that our culture so long ago was founded on the Christian principles, on the Ten Commandments, on the Beatitudes, on the ways that were found in the Bible. But Lord, there are times at the moment when we seem to be veering away from that and we're, as a result, struggling, Lord. So we pray. We pray for your truth and grace and justice to be reinstated in the ways of this country and people's lives, Lord, and these places that we've thought of now, we lift to you for your help, please. In Jesus' name, amen. And lastly, just think of those we know and love, perhaps people in the neighbourhoods where you live, where you work, places you go to. Just take a moment to lift anyone that you want to God, and then I'll round that off with a prayer. Lord, thank you for Psalm 139, which reminds us about how well you know each one of us. You know where we're going, where we're coming from, what we're doing. You see us when we're waking, when we're sleeping. Lord, please help all these folks that we've thought of now and lifted to you in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to close this time of praying with the Lord's Prayer. If you'd like to join in with the words on the screen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. So much is summed up, isn't it, in that prayer. So much of how much help we need with temptation and with evil and trouble in the world. looking to God to provide not only our bread, really, but, you know, so much of what we need to get through different situations and to keep on going. And reminding ourselves that God is the one who has the power and the glory. And that's what we're looking to this morning. I'm going to sing now quite a prayerful song. So perhaps we'll stay sitting to sing this together. And then after that, we'll do some thinking about the Bible passage from today. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. So it's number 712 if you need the book. Verse or the chorus? I don't know this version very well. Is it? We can do a verse. Is that a verse? Should we start with the verse? Okay. Sorry, just this version. I don't know at all. So feel free to lead us in that. So we'll start with the verse.
Yeah, that fits with this.
Great. Okay. Let's give that. Sometimes at meal times in our house, if we're all sitting down together, I pose the question, did anyone learn anything today? I can say that, because I only ever knew the chorus. I didn't know the verses. So I'll say a little prayer now. We're going to think about the message in the reading from today. Lord, open our eyes, open our hearts, open my eyes and my heart, open our minds and our spirits to you, Lord. And I pray that there'll be something helpful and useful in what I've prepared. Lord, breathe your life into it. Help us through this coming week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. A couple of weeks ago now, a friend of mine lent me this, which is what you can see on the screen there. It's very old. It's from the Middle East. I don't know how far back it goes, but it is very old and quite precious. And it's very light and small. And the account of Jesus' life, one day he was watching people put in their money into what was the temple treasury that everyone paid into. And you paid what you could. And he watched lots of people with loads of money giving 10% of what they had. And then this little widow, who had very little, she put in two of these. And Jesus said, she's put in more than anybody else. And here we are 2,000 years later, remembering her, not anyone else who put in their 10%. So I thought I'd start with this morning, because Jesus turns life on its head. He turns what's important on its head. So I'm going to take a risk. I'm going to pass this round, hoping it will come back to me. Just so you feel how light it is, how small it is, and how precious in God's eyes it is. And if you're feeling small this morning, and you're not sure what you're doing, a bit confused, or you've made some mistakes, or just don't know really what's happening, you may feel like this coin, and this coin is really precious to God. So I'm going to hand this around. And you know, when Jesus turned up, he didn't look the way everyone wanted him to look. He wasn't powerful in the way that people wanted him to be powerful. I don't know if we've got any Swifties in this morning. My guess is not many, but we might have loads. I don't know if you even know, do you know what a Swiftie is? I've got a 10-year-old daughter. She's a Swiftie. That means you're a fan of Taylor Swift, a follower of Taylor Swift. And it also means that you make these bead bracelets. Now, my daughter, who's only 10, is an entrepreneur. Basically, she makes these and then makes me buy them off her. So at the moment, I've got four, but who knows where it's going to end. But the reason I mentioned Taylor Swift is she's a great example of what the world understands success to be. She's, you know, she's just broken a record set by the Beatles. The Beatles, I don't know, it's something about how many albums they had that went to number one in a row in a space of 14 years. Well, she's just completed the same number in less time. So she's broken the Beatles record in that sense, whatever that means. But it's interesting how the world judges success and failure. And Taylor Swift is thought to be hugely successful because she's, you know, having loads of hit records, she's got loads of fans, doing a massive world tour, and yet Jesus says, that's what really matters to God. It's the little things in life that he sees and knows and loves. It's what's going on inside of us, isn't it, that matters to God. Not, you know, how glamorous or strong we might look on the outside. So we come to what we heard this morning from John 15, you know, which challenge. I mean, it's kind of, you see, we have a survival instinct within us, don't we? And that's really healthy and it's God-given. It basically starts off where you're told, don't put your fingers in the socket, because if you do, you'll get an electric shock. Don't go too near the fire because you'll get burnt. And yet here comes Jesus saying, you know, you're choosing a life which is going to get you into difficulty. And I often think about that sort of thing because I want an easy life. I don't know about you. I want to be a Christian so that God makes my life wonderful and I have everything I need and I'm happy and healthy. And rich would be nice as well, Lord, you know? All these things. And Jesus says, but actually my way is a different way. And as we read about people misunderstanding Jesus, every day Jesus had conflict with people. Every day. We might worry about his mental health these days, that, you know, as we talk about now a lot. Because every day he was getting knocked down by people. Sometimes it was his enemies. Sometimes it was strangers. Sometimes it was people who wanted to follow him. Sometimes it was even his friends who wanted to steer him in the wrong direction. And he had to say, no, that's not the way for me to go. It's very tempting for me to go that way, but I've not come to do that. So Jesus was always battling to follow the way of his Father and people often misunderstood what that was. This is a little verse from one of the letters from Paul. God chose the foolish things of this world to confound the wise, the weak to shame the strong. That's you and I. Hello, foolish things. Which is not an insult to you, by the way. I'm more foolish than all of you, I'm sure. But that's what we're told, you know. God's way is not the way of the world. And this is what we're learning about here with this passage, where Jesus says, you know, if they hated me, if they were against me, then that will be what it's like for you sometimes. People will not understand you. Just thinking about the Holy Spirit here. You saw I put up some of Nick's, the words that Nick put up there about comforter and advocate. And here are some Bible verses about it. Jesus said to his followers, I will send you the helper. I like that word, the helper. It's not overwhelming, is it? It's not like a massive thing. It can be a very gentle thing, the way the Holy Spirit wants to help you in your life. I wonder what practical things you're facing this week. Ordinary things. See, the Holy Spirit is not about your spiritual life. It's about your life. He wants to help you with conversation, difficult conversations you might have to have, difficult decisions you have to make. Difficult things you have to do, maybe repetitive things that every day you have to do them and you still don't see any success, but every day you keep going. Ways you're helping people, ways you're caring for people, the same thing again and again, and the Holy Spirit wants to help you with those things. And Jesus talked about you will know the truth, and this, and he's called the Spirit of Truth, and the truth will set you free. I can't tell you everything about what that means, because there's plenty of ways in which I don't feel free, but there are other ways in which I do, you know. When I was growing up, one member of our family was someone who struggled with going into deep moods, okay, and we didn't necessarily know why, and I discovered over the years that that rubbed off on me, and if things went wrong, I would slip into a mood for quite a while, and it was very hard to snap me out of it. But I've realised in the past 30 years, can't be, I'm not old enough really, can it? Anyway, that's changed. God has brought a change in me, and that doesn't happen to me anymore. The Holy Spirit can help us with those things, with those emotional things that we wrestle with, you know, to set us free. And here's a verse from the Old Testament. My eyes strain to see your deliverance. I want to see you at work, God, to see the truth of your promise fulfilled. And Jesus, and the Holy Spirit can open our eyes to where he's at work. See, he might be at work in our lives and we didn't even realize it. There are often places in the Bible where people go, oh, didn't realize God was here. And he is here. He's at work. So he could be already at work in different places in our lives. So I'll just say a little prayer on the back of all of this. Lord, I think about this coming week again. Lord, those things, those practical, ordinary things that we're doing, we offer them to you. Please, would you send your Holy Spirit to help us do those things and open our eyes to where you are at work already in our lives and in the lives of others. Lead us on, Lord, so that we can see you at work and join in with that. In Jesus' name, amen. I came across this verse when I was looking up about today, and I thought this rather summed up really what Jesus said about how it will be difficult for us. But people who aren't Christians can't understand these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, because only those who have the Spirit can understand what the Spirit means. And I can remember I was discovering Christianity, I'll say, but my eyes hadn't really been opened by the Holy Spirit. This is only a little Bible. I had a big Bible, and I remember loving the feel of it, because I've still got it. It's got this leather cover. But I was opening it, and it was like I couldn't quite get in there. Couldn't quite grasp what some of this stuff was about. When I became a Christian, that really changed. That really changed. And I don't find the Bible easy to read all the time, but I do love it. And, you know, and you often still, I don't know if you've been a Christian a long time, but you can read something and suddenly it comes alive. Isn't he never noticed it before? Not unlike that verse there. I've never noticed that verse before. You know, and that's what the Spirit can do. He opens our eyes. And for a lot of people, that's why they make jokes about Christianity, or they say it's a load of rubbish, or it doesn't mean anything to anybody. That's what they think. Because they need this Holy Spirit to open their eyes, the Spirit of truth that Jesus said would come and help us. A couple of sayings that I thought that came to my mind when I was thinking about that. When people stop believing in God, they don't believe in nothing, they believe in anything, which I think we sometimes see the evidence of. That's a writer called G.K. Chesterton, who was quite a witty Christian, actually. And it's true, isn't it? People sort of grasp at all kinds of things, superstition and, all kinds of things that they hope will make life better. Everyone has faith. Everyone uses their faith. It's not like some people have it and some people don't. We all put our faith in things. You know, whether it's shopping, people keep buying stuff to make them feel better. I remember reading in a great Christian book once called Blue Light Jazz, where the writer was very honest. He said, "I like buying new things because new things make me feel new." But it's only for a short time, isn't it? I see that in my daughter, my 10-year-old daughter. She's desperate for this new pair of shoes. And then a day later, she's desperate for something else because the newness wears off, doesn't it? So we all kind of believe in things, but there's a verse in the Old Testament which says, it's in Isaiah 55, it says, "Come and get the food that I can offer. It's free and it satisfies." It says, "Why do you go chasing after things that don't satisfy?" I think it's Isaiah 55 verse 1. It says, "Come eat and drink of the goodness of God that satisfies." And the other thing was Malcolm X, a famous American, "A person who stands for nothing will fall for anything." And that's a challenge for us as Christians in our day and age, isn't it? Because we're supposed to be open to absolutely anything. Everything is acceptable. But that isn't the best way. It's great that we are understanding of each other and caring for each other in a way that people used to be marginalized, some sections of society. I think that's a great improvement. But that doesn't mean we have to go, "Oh, anything goes. Everything's fine. Just live any way we should, any way we want. It doesn't matter." A person who stands for nothing will fall for anything. I just heard this week again a song I've often thought about by a singer called Sheryl Crow, American country singer. And one of her songs has this in the chorus: "If it makes you happy, then it can't be that bad. If it makes you happy, then why are you still so sad?" And I think that really sums up this anything goes thing. You know, if it makes you happy, why are you still so sad? Why is everyone still so restless? Why is everyone still so hungry if they can have anything they want, you know? And because we're all looking for actually the love and the truth that Jesus brings into our lives. So I'll show you a little tiny clip here from a film called Hacksaw Ridge. Hacksaw Ridge is the true story of Desmond Doss, who was in the army in the Second World War, the American army. And he didn't want to carry a gun because he was a Christian. But he did want to be in the army. He wanted to be a medic. But even medics, I think, in the American army were supposed to carry a firearm. And he refused to do it. And he really had to fight not to do it. But the other men in his platoon, they misunderstood him. So this is a great example of being misunderstood for why you do something. They think he's a coward. I don't know how loud this is going to be, so let me just take it down first.
I mean, I'm fine. Are you thinking better than that?
No.
What if he was a tear?
Whoa!
Oh, say it like that. Bible says to turn the other cheek, don't. See, I don't think this is a question of religion, fellas. I think this is cowardice. Plain and simple.
Is that right, Doss?
Well, come on. Take a poke! Tell you what, I'm gonna give you a free shot. Right there. Hit me, Doss. Go on.
Let him have it.
Go ahead.
No?
So they accuse him of being a coward because he won't fight. They don't understand him. And as you saw there, he says, why don't you hit, go on, I've hit you, you hit me now. And Desmond won't do that at all. And the scene it cut to there was during the war, the battle they went to in Okinawa. And this is where it all turns around. Because as a medic, Desmond's job is to help the people in battle. And what happens is they get ambushed at Okinawa. And many of them get killed and many more get wounded. So what Desmond does is they're at the top of a ridge, Hacksaw Ridge, and it's very high, it's a cliff. One by one, he rescues these men that had a go at him. And this is true. He rescued more than 50 of them by carrying them to the ledge and lowering them down with a rope until his hands got cut to pieces, under gunfire and bombs going off, going back, 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 rescuing, rescuing. All the time he was praying, God, help me save one more. And you see that in the film. God, help me save one more. He was praying for the Holy Spirit's help all the time. And he saved more than 50 men's lives. He got a medal for doing it. And that's how we know about him and his story. But it was these men who were actually telling him he was a coward. And they didn't understand him. And they couldn't understand him because the Holy Spirit hadn't opened their eyes to why he was doing what he did. And we may not be in such extreme situations, but you may relate to that sense that people don't understand sometimes why we choose to do what we do, but we choose to do it because we're following Jesus. And that was what happened with Desmond. He chose not to carry a firearm because he was following Jesus, and he chose to rescue those men because he was following Jesus. And he could ask for God's help to do it. Another little saying, the law was given through Moses. God's grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So thinking again about the Spirit of Truth. The reason I wanted to mention this is this. The law is good, but it can tie you in knots. And sometimes it's wrong. It's not always right. When Jesus came along, they had loads of man-made laws. And one of them was basically this. When it's the Sabbath, theirs was Saturday, we might say ours is Sunday, don't help other people because that's work. Right? And Jesus came along helping other people on the Sabbath. And they said, you're breaking God's law by doing that. You're wrong. You can't be from God. But Jesus, of course, was from God. And he came full of love and compassion. You see, that can be the problem with law on its own. You know, we can misunderstand it, or we can use it as a weapon to hurt other people. God's grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. That's what he demonstrated, grace and truth, which was a higher law, if you like, caring for the world and for other people. I thought I'd show you this little moment from, well, this is from Life, but they've recently made a film called One Life, which tells the story of Nicholas Winton. Some people may have seen it, a very moving film. But this is the real Nicholas Winton. Just thinking about this law of grace and truth and how it works out in our lives. Nicholas Winton, just in 1939, as the Nazis were coming across Europe, he went to Czechoslovakia, he was working there with friends, and they saw all these Jewish families running away, escaping for their lives, and all these children. And they were lost, they didn't know where to go, and Nicholas Winton and his mother and friends, they came up with a plan to rescue these children, to bring them to this country. And that was called the Kinder Train. They put them on this train, brought them over. And years later, he lost touch with them all, these children. There was over 700 of them. And he wondered what had become of these children. And so one day he was invited onto a program that you may well remember called That's Life. And this is what happened.
Back here is the list of all the children. This is Vera Dermont, now Vera Gissing. We did find her name on his list. Vera Gissing is with us here tonight. Hello, Vera. And I should tell you that you are actually sitting next to Nicholas Winton.
And it was just so wonderful, so terribly, terribly touching.
Yes, is there anyone in our audience tonight who owes their life to Nicholas Winton? If so, could you stand up, please?
Incredibly moving film, incredibly moving. That's the real life moment. They recreate that in the film, and it's one of the reasons they wanted to make the film, to tell that story. And that was the beginning of him forming fresh relationships with all those people's lives. Someone said to me a while back, you never know who will come up to you in heaven and say thank you for what you've done. One of my prayers is always, Lord, help me to help people, even if I don't realize it, you know. Because I pray that there'll be things that I do which will help people, but I've got no idea, you know. That's what I long for, that I will be part of that, really. And there's a lovely moment in this film. This is, I don't know if this really happened, but this is in the film. And these are the characters from the film here. That's Johnny Flynn playing a young Nicholas Winton on the station there. And they're talking, he and his friends and colleagues are talking about this plan to rescue the children. And one of them says, you seem to be putting an awful lot of faith in ordinary people, talking about the families in this country that would rescue the children. And Nicholas Winton replied, but I'm an ordinary person. You and I are ordinary people. And he was thinking, you know, I care, so lots of other people will care. And that's the thing, isn't it? We're called through the Spirit of Truth to care. Not only to bring truth, but to bring grace. And it's the two working together, isn't it? Grace and truth that we find in Jesus working in our lives and then being shared with other people. While I was thinking about this, what I was going to say today, and I was... reading some notes that Jeff had sent me about what this series of talks and Bible passages that you're having at the moment. I'm just racing to find the one I want, and it made me think about this at the beginning of Ephesians. It's Ephesians 1, chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. For God chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he chose us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. He chose you and I, and he was happy to do it before the world began. And he chose us to respond to the Holy Spirit, to face the difficulties of this life, to be different. And we need his help to do that, don't we?
I do.
But what a heartening thing. He chose you, and he loved to choose you. It was his pleasure to choose you, to be part of his work on this world. I had a dream about 10 days ago that I thought I'd tell you about. And what it was I was in this big, hangar-type building, you know, massive building. And it was a youth event, you know, it was full of teenagers. And I was doodling and scribbling on the floor and drawing. And I remember in the dream thinking, this is odd, because I'm rubbish at art, which I am. I cannot draw to save my life. I once got 8% in an art exam. It was a travesty of justice. I still feel that, the pain. But I can't draw. So in the dream, now I'm doodling and drawing and scribbling and putting marks all over the floor. And I'm not sure what I'm doing or why I'm doing it. And the teenagers are all following me around looking at what I'm doing. Towards the end of the dream, as happens in dreams, you know, suddenly you find yourself somewhere else. I was standing on a big platform looking down on what I'd just done on the floor. And I had drawn a massive face of Jesus on the floor. All my squiggles and marks and doodles had unknowingly to me formed the face of Jesus. And I tell you what, I got such a thrill in the dream from that. And when I woke up, I still felt that thrill. I felt so alive from what had just happened. And as I thought about it, I thought, you know, this is what I think it's about. You and I, we go through life muddling and doodling and scribbling with our lives and what we're saying and doing. And we may not realize that we're revealing the face of Jesus to other people. Because that's what the Spirit can do through you and I. And then it's up to them. They may not understand it. They may reject it. They may not like it. Or they may respond. But we are all called into that, revealing something of the face of Jesus to other people. I cannot tell you how much I felt energized when I woke up from that dream. There was something so good about what I'd seen in that dream. So God chooses you. He chose you before the beginning of the world to be part of that. And it's not easy, is it? Just read again. Just a couple of verses from John 15. The good and the bad, the difficult and the helpful. Here we go, sorry. If the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world. But I have chosen you out of the world. When the Holy Spirit comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, and you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. The Spirit of truth comes to help us with our doodlings and our scribblings to testify about who Jesus is. Before we sing our last hymn, then I'm just going to whiz ahead because I just want to show you one more thing. This is something a friend of mine put together, which I thought might hopefully will encourage you this morning. I rewrite the Psalms and put them together in books. I write them in taking the originals, but maybe in a way that's just a bit more, maybe a little bit more streetwise or whatever, helpful for people today. And a friend of mine read one of them in one of my books and he put it to music. So I'm going to play you this just to finish this talk and then we'll sing our final song.
Thank you, Lord, for being my rock, that solid foundation when all around feels like shifting sand. Thank you for being my shield and my song of hope, my strength and my rescuer. Without you, I am sunk. At times I have felt as if the floods would overwhelm me, as if the fires of life would take me down. But I am still here, and you are still here. And because of you, I am able to say this prayer and to take another step. The earth may quake and tremble, making me do the same. But you are always greater than our troubles. Thank you. the sound of your voice can calm the storms. When the clouds close in and gloom hovers once more, your brilliance shines like the sun. Your presence rises like the dawn. You are with us always, and you are on my side.
Amen. So we're going to close now. We're going to sing really about our hope in Jesus, our hope in God. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So we'll sing together. It's number, I don't know if you need the book. Let me just find 473. If you'd like to stand up, we'll sing this together. Should we close by saying the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all.